Great. Okay, who here is not from Australia? Okay, there's a lot of us. Okay, great. Who's fairly new? Who's only been here for like between 1 year to 3 years? There's some of us, okay, great. Between 3 and 5 years? No, okay. More than 5 years? Some, okay. Who's born here? All right, okay. Oh well, no one's perfect. I came to Australia when I was in the middle of high school in 1991. I remember very clearly the moment I stepped out of Sydney Airport. I saw a clear blue sky and the air smells different. It's not just because I've been on the airplane, it's all air conditioned. I just smell different from where I'm from. I'm from Taipei. It's a city with many motorbikes and surrounded by mountains. So all the polluted air is trapped in unless we get typhoon. So I came to Australia to start a new life, to have a new beginning. I was ready to embrace all the challenges with excitement and expectation without knowing much English. In the Bible passage today, we read about new life in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your word, and we praise that Jesus did come and die for our sins and was raised. Father, we pray that that message will inform us and teach us and challenge us in a way that we live our life every day. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. A lot of people come to Australia, not as their first choice. I don't know about you. Some of you, maybe you came here because you couldn't qualify for the universities in United States or United Kingdom. Therefore, you came to Australia. I don't feel bad or anything because, you know, there are some people who go to, you know, places like New Zealand. And some of you are here because it is cheaper to come here than it is to go to the UK or the US. New beginning has its cost. And a new life in Jesus has its cost as well. And that cost is Jesus himself. Verse 14 says, one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. What does it mean that Jesus died for all? At one level, it means he died for the benefit of all. Lots of celebrities, they died last year. I don't know if you were around like towards the end of last year. So many people died. And the social media just went crazy. People start reflecting on the lives of those celebrities, what they have accomplished, mostly, you know, in the entertainment sphere. But one thing in common is that even though they accomplish a lot of stuff in their life, their death accomplished nothing at all. You know, their lives did, but their death could only be described as devastating, sad, a big loss, a tragedy. But Jesus' death was different. He achieved something. He has brought reconciliation, something for benefit of everybody. Reconciliation between God and the human race. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. So our relationship with God has now been put right. Reconciling means Putin relationship right. Jesus was not someone who just suffered for his own sin. Nor was he the weak victim of, you know, Judas' betrayal. He died because of us all. He came to die for the forgiveness of sins of all of us. His death achieved reconciliation, forgiveness. Not only his death was for our benefit, his death is only beneficial because it was substitutional. He died for my benefit, but he died in my place. That's why it was for my benefit. That is what it means for Jesus to die for all, that Jesus died for me. Not just for my benefit, but also in my place. Asian parents do a lot of things for their children. Okay? And this is made clear when they try to manipulate their children. We do all this for you, for you. They do a lot of they go to great, you know, length to do things for their children. It's not just, you know, cook their meals and wash their clothes, but things like, you know, moving to certain areas, you know, sending their kids to overseas to, you know, have a university education. And they work hard for their children. And sometimes Asian parents will do things not just for the benefit of their children, they will do things instead of their children. They will do things for their children as well. But there are things, you know, it's great that, you know, my parents did a lot of things for me, but there are things they can't do things, you know, for me, they just can't do. Especially things in my place. They can't sit the exams for me. They can't, you know, go to job interviews for me. And there are probably things you don't want your parents to do in your place. Like going on a date. So Jesus, when he died for all, not only he died for the benefit of all, he died in the place of all. And this is something that has been done for you. Whether you like it or not, whether you realize it or not, Jesus died for your sins already. This may not be your plan, but it is done. He has already paid for the cost of your new life. And the cost of this new life is also what makes the rules of this new life in Jesus. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So there's new purpose in this life, new life. It's for Jesus. We do not live for ourselves anymore. We live for the one who died for us and was raised again. When you go to a new country, you need to learn their new rules, new language, okay, especially new rules, right? You need to learn which side of the road you drive on, how much tax you pay, how old you need to be to do this or to do that, and also the consequences of, you know, breaking those laws. Back in 1994, I was doing my HSC. I don't want to hear what you were doing in 1994. Back in 1994, during my HSC time, I made a big decision. I think it was the first big significant decision I made as an adult. I just turned 19. It was my decision. It's not someone else's. No one else made me to do it. You know, having been in Australia for 3 years, I was thinking and acting like an Australian teenager. My choice, my decision. It was a formal decision in the sense that there were forms to fill in, there were people to see, there were interviews to have, I needed to get rubber stamps on those forms, nothing was online back then. It's a thing that's so big, I had it interfere with another big thing in my life, the HSC. I think I had to finish my trial paper early, super early, so I can catch the bus and get to city on time to get things done. And after all the forms were handed in, all the bus trips and interviews and all those, you know, rubber stamps being collected, there was a ceremony in a special hall, in a special building. And after that ceremony, I was given a certificate. And then I become Australian citizen. So I've been an Australian citizen almost 23 years now. And part of becoming Australian means I need to pledge allegiance to the Queen. I don't think you need to do that now, but back then we need to. Now, if you want to become Australian citizen, you still need to pledge allegiance, at least to Australia. And becoming an Australian citizen, I know it's hard for some of my friends. For them to take up Australian citizenship means they need to give up their old citizenship. All right? If you're a Chinese citizen, you want to become an Australian citizen, you can't hold dual citizenship. You can only have Chinese or Australian. Okay? It was very hard for my friends. But it was easy for me. I know I didn't have a Chinese citizenship to give up. Okay? I was a New Zealand citizen. So you may not have the need or desire to change citizenship. But my point is this. When you become an Australian citizen, you know, you need to pledge allegiance to Australia. And it's the same with Jesus. If you want new life in him, you need to have him as your king, as your boss. You give up your old boss. Jesus is the boss, but he's not bossy. What drives, motivates, and compels us to live for him is because of his love. And his love is demonstrated in his sacrifice for us all. He does not coerce us, but he loves us. And when we understand that we are so loved by him, we can do nothing but live our lives for him. So the source of this new life is God's love. Moving to a new country will move you away from some of the old problems like corrupted government, or a bad living environment, terrible traffic, or unstable economics, and give you a better education, new opportunities, or better career prospects. And maybe you go to a new place, you get unique experiences in that place. But moving to a new country will not solve the problems of laziness, pride, lust, greed, self-pity, bitterness, sin. What goes on in our hearts will not change just by moving to a new place. Heart's problems are not solved by getting an Australian university degree, even a UTS degree. The new life that, you know, Jesus gives is more than just a new solution or strategy for you to deal with life. It's not just something more practical or more profitable. Sure, it does have a, you know, strong, profound, you know, wise, philosophical aspect of it. And it is very practical and profitable for family and finance and marriage and relationships and suffering. But this all comes from our new relationship with God, this new life in Christ, knowing that he died for me so I can live for him. And this new life that Jesus gives is not just, you know, chasing the same dreams that I had with better opportunities. Nor is it just a, you know, better positioning of myself to achieve a bit bigger and better goals. It is a reorientation. It's to have different goals. Things matter the most have changed and different now. And for Paul, who wrote the letter, one major thing was that he no longer looks at people, regard people from a worldly perspective. He has a new way of looking at people and looking at himself. And to be honest, those who are made new in Jesus, we have new ways of looking at ourselves and looking at others, new ways looking at money, time, our marks from uni, sex, work, everything, parents. These new ways of looking at things is because of the new life we have. And the God who reconciled the world to himself through the death of his son is now actually appeals to the world through his ambassadors to reconcile to him. The king of this new life, we need to be reconciled to him. The reconciliation of sinners to God brought about by Christ's atoning death means reconciliation of the world to lordship of Christ needs to be proclaimed, needs to be told. And they are called to obey God's call. Verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I was looking at Credo's website before I came here. I wanted to know, a bit more about you guys and before I came. And I found out the mission statement of Credo. Who knows Credo's mission is? Not many. Okay, that's good. Okay. It says this on the website. I don't know if it's the same as you. I don't want to ask you and it's different from the website. So on the website it says this. Our mission in Credo is to become such communities of God's people within UTS that everyone is confronted with the magnificent truth of Jesus Christ. I really like that word, confronted, in that statement. I think it's a very beautiful thing in there. Where do you see the magnificent truth of Jesus? It's in the Easter message that he died for everyone, and he was raised. It is in the proclaiming and teaching of what Jesus has accomplished so that people's sins are forgiven and not counted against them. And they get to live their lives renewed. And the preaching of reconciliation has to be carried out so people can hear the call to be reconciled to God. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, he is asking the people to see him rightly as the real apostle from Christ. And how we see Paul rightly is only secondary how we see Jesus rightly. To look at Paul as a weak, insignificant, unimpressive person, we need to stop looking at Jesus from a worldly perspective as well. He was not just a victim. He was, the Lord of this new creation. Only when we see Jesus rightly, we will see Paul as a divine appointed representative of Jesus. Maybe you once did think, not much of Jesus. Maybe you still don't think much of Jesus. My stepfather used to think, and I think he still thinks of Jesus as the baby Jesus. Now, when we talk about stuff like, Jesus, he's just a baby, isn't he? So his understanding of Jesus stops at Christmas, and that's it. And some people's understanding stops at Jesus being a great teacher in a good book. He may be real, doesn't have to be, but he's got good things to say. Some people's understanding stops at Jesus being a good guy, a great example. Okay, and he had great teaching, was very wise, he lived a good life, he is a great example of humility. He's up there with Confucius, kind of thing. And some people's understanding of Jesus stops at, he's been a victim, he was a poor guy who died on the cross. He was misunderstood and he was framed and betrayed and wrongfully executed. He was a martyr. That's what Jesus is. Do not see him from the worldly point of view. What made a difference for Paul was Easter. He was confronted with the resurrected Jesus, the resurrection. So Paul's understanding of Jesus did not just stop at Christmas or how great a teacher he was. It didn't even stop just at Good Friday, but Easter Sunday. He sees Jesus not in a worldly way. He realized that Jesus died for all and was raised. What appeared to be a sad story actually has a very, very good ending. We all like new beginnings. We all like, you know, to think this world is not all that is, because we see a lot of problems in this world. You know, even you might come to Australia thinking, oh, this is not very good. But if home was even better, you wouldn't have come here in the first place. So in a world where so often we are confronted with news of hatred, revenge, distrust, cheating, we need reconciliation. In a world full of sin, we need forgiveness. And God is reconciling the world to himself. It is for everyone in the world. God is reconciling the world. Anyone, anytime, anywhere, when someone turns to Jesus, there's a new creation. New life begins. And today is still the day of salvation. 2017 is still the time of God's favor. It is still time for people to be confronted with this magnificent truth of Jesus. Maybe you have known and understood and loved this magnificent truth of Jesus for a very long time. Please keep on remembering how great it is that Jesus died for us all, and let his love be the driving force to lead your life as you make decisions, big or small. Living your life without a worldly point of view, live no longer for yourselves, but for him who died for you and was raised again. And if you're new to this truth, feel free to come and talk to me or any of the staff here, you know, or the people who invite you here. We'd love to chat to you more about it. And if you haven't been with us for a while, and you know it's time for you to get serious about Jesus, and you want to, you know, really just be reconciled to God and want to start your new life in Jesus, we want to speak to you more. Come and speak to us, any one of us. Let us know. There's nothing greater to know that our sins are forgiven and we don't have to worry about new life, because we found that in Jesus. He died for all, and that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your love in Christ for us. Thank you that he died so we can live, no longer for ourselves, but for him who died for us and was raised again. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.